Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Presiden Joko Widodo asked Garuda to serve the Jakarta-Tasikmalaya route. Minister Retno Marsudi said, Indonesia's partner for democracy, development and social justice. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo asked Garuda Indonesia Airlines to serve the Jakarta-Tasikmalaya route. As reported by Antara News Agency, the president told the media at the Wiryadinata Air Base Tasikmalaya, West Java on Wednesday that the community's interest in air transportation to Tasikmalaya area is quite high. He added that the proposals of the West Java Governor Ridwan Kamil could also be carried out by applying the Jakarta-Bandung-Tasikmalaya route and vice versa. President Joko Widodo inaugurated the use of the Wiryadinata Air Base as a public airport that can be used for commercial flights on June 10, 2017. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi stated at the 40th session of the United Nations Human Rights Council, UNHCR, that Indonesia is a reliable partner for democracy, development and social justice. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the minister made the remarks in a press statement released on Wednesday while delivering Indonesia's statement and launching Indonesia's candidacy on UNHCR memberships for 2020-2022 at the UN headquarters in Geneva, Switzerland, recently. In the statement, she noted that global human rights situation is currently facing huge challenges. Various conflicts and instability have raised a number of human rights violations. Seasonal political interests in various parts of the world have reduced tolerance, respect, and inclusiveness in the public, which are the essential values of human rights. To face the current global human rights situation, she remarked that all countries have no other choices but to contribute to the creation of better global human rights situation. In this regard, Indonesia has decided to nominate for UNHCR memberships for 2020-2022 terms. UNHCR is expected to elect its members in November 2019. Director General of Pollutions Control and Environmental Damage at Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry held a technical working meeting on the field of pollutions and environmental damage control, which has taken place in Jakarta from February 26 to March 1. The meeting aims to collaborate between the central and regional governments in the field of pollution control and environmental damage. In her remarks in Jakarta on Wednesday, Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar remarked that there are three ways to solve environmental problems. So theoretically, solve environmental problems, the most basic we need is knowledge. We must understand knowledge about it. The second is public campaign, a public campaign that is continuously carried out and can be understood by the public. And the third is regulation, so how we manage taxes, incentive, disincentives, and how to monitor. Minister Siti Nurbaya added that this arrangement would work well if enough information is available to formulate policies and provide feedback to improve existing policies. Therefore, monitoring the environmental quality index is very necessary. This technical work meeting was attended by around 300 participants from the provincial, district or city environmental service throughout Indonesia, ministries, institutions, academics and business people. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto keeps encouraging increased investment of South Korea in Indonesia, especially in industrial sector. At present, cooperation between Indonesia and South Korea is entering a new phase. South Korea has a role in the steel industry that deepens the structure of the automotive industry. As reported by Antara News Agency on Wednesday, Minister Erlangga Hartarto expressed this when giving a speech at the event Korean Business Dialogue with the theme Together We Grow in Semarang, Central Java. According to Minister Erlangga, South Korea's investment has opened 1 million jobs in Indonesia. He hopes that this number will double by 2024. To attract this investment, the government of Indonesia has determined to create a conducive business climate and facilitate business licensing. The Indonesian embassy in Buenos Aires has facilitated the return of the body of an Indonesian seaman, Zais, who died on board while sailing in the South Atlantic waters. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the Indonesian embassy in Buenos Aires is in a statement on Wednesday stated that the seaman's body was returned from Montevideo, Uruguay on February 27th and is scheduled to arrive in Jakarta on March 2nd. Zai's body will be handed over by the workers of placement agency PT Bahari Crew Management to his family in Ambon, Maluku. The embassy's head for consular affairs, Emil Dewantara, stated that Zai suffered from acute pulmonary edema that has sparked a problem in his heart. Zais died on January 16 after his health worsened. The Chinese flag Uya 17 ship, where Zais worked, brought him to Montevideo. Indonesia is about to participate in the Australian Multicultural Fashion Festival to be held in Barangaroo, New South Wales, Australia, on March 1st. As reported by Antara News Agency, director of the Australian Multicultural Fashion Festival, Sonia Gandhi, told Indonesian reporters in Sydney on Wednesday that there are two Indonesian designers who will take part in the festival, Saflanin and Novita Yunus. They are two Indonesian fashion designers who have presented their works overseas. They also include the characteristic of Indonesian culture in his works. Sonia Gandhi hopes that Australian Multicultural Fashion Festival will become a forum for various countries and designers to develop the fashion industry and introduce their respective culture to other countries and communities. Indonesian Ambassador to Russia Wahid Supriyadi said that Russian community is highly interested in learning Indonesian language, Bahasa. As quoted by the Republika Online, Ambassador Wahid Supriyadi, after meeting Indonesian Minister of Education and Culture Mohajir Effendi in Jakarta on Wednesday, said that the holding of the Indonesian festival in Moscow has become one of the boosters of Russian citizens' interest. He added that since 2 years ago, there has also been an opening of an Indonesian language study program at the Kazan Federal University in the Republic of Tatarstan. According to him, the sending of Indonesian language teachers to foreign speakers also increasingly improves diplomatic relations between the two countries. In his meeting with Minister Mohajir, Ambassador Wahid also asked the minister to open the fourth Indonesian festival to be held starting next August. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. For the topics today is Indonesia at the 2019 AFF Under-22 Cup as a champion. Good news comes from the world of Indonesian sport amid the heated political situation in Indonesia ahead of the simultaneous general election on April 17th. The Indonesian Under-22 national football team wins the ASEAN Football Federation AFF 2019 after beating Thailand 2-1 in the final match at the Olympic Stadium Phnom Penh, Cambodia on Tuesday. The victory of the national team trained by Indra Safri thanks to the goals scored by Sunny Rizky Fauzi and Osvaldo Hai. The achievement of the national team in the AF Under-22 Cup seems to have succeeded in uniting the Indonesian nation, on which during this political year it was a little disturbed due to differences in supporting one of the political parties and presidential and vice presidential candidates. Over the past few months, especially during the two-timed presidential and vice presidential debate, the domestic political situation has been more heating. Each supporter attacks each other both in the mainstream media and social media. Not surprisingly, the victory of the Under-22 national team proves to be able to provide calmness amid a heated political situation. When supporting the national team, the name of Indonesia was shouted. It is proper for the Indonesian people to appreciate the achievements of the Indonesian national team in the Under-22 AFF Cup. In addition, President Joko Widodo also immediately expressed congratulations in his Instagram account. He considered the success of the team trained is the beginning of the rise of Indonesian football amid law enforcement reports over Indonesian Association football scandal in the country. Hopefully, what President Joko Widodo's hopes can become a reality. The under-22 national team's achievements can be an encouragement for other football teams. Besides being proud of being able to win the AFF at under-22 event, the Indonesian under-22 national team will also get huge bonus worth 2.1 billion rupiah from the government. The national team must not be lured by the euphoria of this victory. It is hoped that this achievement will be a booster to become even better so that it will make Indonesia be more famous in international sports. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History. Well, we start for info on February 28, 1922, when Egypt gains its independence from England. Egypt is a country which has an ancient civilization with the age of more than 8,000 years old. From the 16th century until early 20th century, Egypt was controlled by foreign powers, beginning from Ottoman Empire, France, until United Kingdom. On February 28, 1922, Egypt gained its independence, but still under British protectorate. In 1953, the system of the Egyptian government was changed from kingdom to be republic. The next event was in 1972 on Shanghai Communique. The government of China and the United States issued Shanghai Communique when the visit of the U.S. President Richard Nixon to China on February 28, 1972. The communique was an important political document for the two countries which had upheld the basic principle of relations between the two countries. Based on China's one principle, both countries respect each other. Equality and win-win solution. Live side by side peacefully and do not interfere in internal affairs. The principles were further confirmed in the communique of the opening of China-US diplomatic relations on August 17th. And the last event is on Olof Palme assassination. Sweden Prime Minister Olof Palme was shot dead by unknown attacker when walking to go home after watching film in the theater alone with his wife, Lisbeth, before midnight on February 28, 1986 in Stockholm. A Sweden resident, Christer Pettersson, was arrested and suspected as the Palme's killer. But then he was released because he was considered not guilty. He was suspected to kill the Prime Minister, but there was no evidence which supported his statement. Until now, the case is not revealed yet. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
telinga yang mendengar tanpa menghakimi. Secangkir kopi hangat yang kita hirup berdua. Kerawan dalam petuahmu, ibu aku rindu.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and vinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's topic of My Indonesia titled Ministry of Environment and Forestry and Center for International Forestry Research strengthen the cooperation in sustainable forest management. Since 11 years of cooperation with the Research and Development Agency Litbang and innovation of the Ministry of Forestry with the Center for International Forestry Research continue to realize community welfare through the development of environmental and forestry fields. Head of the Research and Development Agency and Innovation of the Ministry of Forestry, Agus Justianto, hopes that both parties can drive science into an action. The two agencies can also translate into national movements as a step to support people's welfare. Justianto said this when signing the Memorandum of Understanding MOU with C4, Director General Robert Nasi in Bogor on Tuesday, February 26. Meanwhile, Robert Nasi explained that so far various activities have been carried out, including the development of the Indonesian National Carbon Accounting System, or INCAS, Smoke-Free Sustainable Livelihood Project, Sustainable Wetland Adaptation and Mitigation Program, as well as governance improvement, institutional policies and arrangements for RED, and the Global Comparative Study on RED+.
He said currently the collaboration was reinforced in several fields, including sustainable forest management, utilization of tree-based forests, and social forestry. The focus of this collaboration also covers several regions spread throughout Indonesia. On the same occasion, Robert Nazi also conveyed that the Center for International Forestry Research and the Research and Development Agency and Innovation of the Ministry of Forestry have a long history of collaborative work, which began in 1997 at the Bulungan Research Forest. Robert Nazi said the updated Memorandum of Understanding was an affirmation of C4's commitment in sustainable forest management in Indonesia and an important step in a long-term partnership. He looks forward to the ongoing efforts with C4 to show the important role of Indonesia's forest in contributing to the achievement of national goals and the Sustainable Development Goals SDGs. That was today's My Indonesia.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we introduce you to Dato Majene Beach. Stay tuned. Majene is one of the regions in West Sulawesi Province and has become one of the main tourist destinations in West Sulawesi. The Regency is blessed with beautiful nature. Majene has not only beautiful nature, but also unique cuisine and culture. There are many natural tourism sites that you can visit if you're traveling to Majene. One of them is Dato Majene Beach, a beautiful beach that becomes a bright for Majene people. Dato Beach is located in Pangali Ward, Baurung Sub-District, East Banggai District, Majene Regency. The distance from the center of Majene Regency is around 7 kilometers. The beach can be reached by motorcycles or cars about 10 minutes from the city center. To enter the beach, you have to pay the ticket for 2,000 rupiah for kids and 3,000 rupiah for adults. Dato Beach offers a number of natural panoramas. Besides the beauty of white sand and the sea, which has green to blue shades, the beach is also surrounded by towering cliffs. The water is clear, so the coral reefs with beautiful colored fish on the sea floor can be seen clearly. Besides swimming, you can do expose your photography hobby here. The Dato Beach area has many interesting photo spots with coral reef backgrounds. The charm of the beauty of the beach can also be seen from the top of the cliff. You can enjoy the beauty of the beach by sitting under a coconut tree. If you feel hungry, don't worry. There are a number of sellers offering various kinds of culinary with Majene traditional menus at the beach. If you visit in August until September, if you are lucky, you can watch the traditional Mandar tribe boat race known as the Sandek Race. The beach always becomes the location of the event. Listener, that was our segment for today of Indonesian Wonder, featuring Dato Majene Beach. Thank you for listening.
Ku hampiri engkau meski kau jauh, sendiriku tempuh hanya untuk bertemu denganmu. Ku hampiri engkau meski kau jauh, namun hatimu telah runtuh dan buatku terjatuh. Kau tak pernah tahu betapa hati yakin untukmu. Tak pernah tahu betapa aku merindukanmu. Intuisiku Tapi tak jual, kau hiraukan aku. Mungkin ku tak bisa buatmu lulu, namun kau harus tahu bahwa diriku sungguh-sungguh. Kau tak pernah tahu betapa hati yakin untukmu. Kau tak pernah tahu betapa aku merindukanmu.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to Miscellany. Today, we would like to present you information about Horas Samosir Fiesta 2019. Stay tuned. Lake Toba is one of the biggest lakes in Indonesia, which is located in North Sumatra. The lake is a wonderful tourism destination which features the beauty of nature, geopark, water sports, and unique cultural heritages. The local government keeps improving the potential of Lake Toba. One of the ways to improve the tourism potential of Lake Toba is by establishing Lake Toba as one of the 10 prioritized tourism destinations in Indonesia. The government also intensively builds infrastructures. In addition to building more infrastructures, various tourism promotional activities are held in a bid to attract more tourists to visit Lake Toba. One of them is called Horas Samosir Fiesta 2019. Horas Samosir Fiesta is a tourism marketing development program held in a bid to increase the number of tourists to Samosir Regency. The program consists of several events such as cultural performances, sport tourism, and international music events. Horas Samosir Fiesta 2019 will be held for 8 months, starting from 7 March to 30 December 2019. North Sumatra invites all people from around the globe to discover the beauty of Samosir tourism through various events held along 2019. Horas Samosir Fiesta 2019 presents three main international events: Samosir Music International Festival, Grand Fondo New York, Championship Asia, as well as Samosir Lake Toba Ultra Marathon. The three international events will be held professionally by applying international standards. Last year, the three events successfully fascinated many foreign tourists. This year, it is expected to attract both domestic and international visitors to explore Lake Toba. Indonesian Tourism Minister Arief Yahya and Deputy Minister of Tourism Destination and Industry Development Dadang Rizky Rahman said that the growth of tourist visit to Lake Toba has continuously shown positive trend. The growth of tourism in Samosir Regency is also supported by development of infrastructures such as toll road, airport, and seaport. Listeners, that was miscellany about Horas Samosir Festival 2019. See you on our next edition.
Permainkan cinta.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we present a song titled Cinta Pertama by Raffi Kaduri. The singer, who is familiarly called Vika, began to be known especially by music lovers in the 1970s. Her name has soared since singing two songs composed by Arianto, namely Hanya Untukmu and Tertusuk Duri. Actually, she has started singing since she was 11 years old. At that time, the woman, who was born in Bangkok on January 20, 1960, won the title of pop singer in Bangkok. Since winning the contest, Vika moved to Jakarta and took a singing course. After being convinced of her singing ability, Vika took part in radio and television singing contests or Bintang Radio dan Televisi in 1976. At that time, she performed with Harvey Malaiholo, who also won the competition. Since then, Vika and Harvey Malaiholo often collaborated and released several songs such as Cinta Pertama and Permata Hati. The song Cinta Pertama tells the story of someone who consistently loving her first love, even though they are no longer together. Well, listener, here is Raffi Kaduri with Cinta Pertama. Happy listening.
Bulan indah kelihatan.
Kini aku telah tahu, tinggallah hanya kenangan cintaku yang pertama, cintaku yang pertama.
Voice of Indonesia. Of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.